The Beat Podcast is brought to you by Nutritia and is designed for healthcare professionals only. Jill, an NHS midwife, is asking the questions in this episode.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, the UK's midwifery community have needed to adapt their normal practices to ensure that women continue to receive the full range of maternity services safely. The camaraderie, courage and empathy that is evident has been a defiant reminder that life quite literally goes on. My name is Jill and I've been a midwife and nurse in the NHS for almost 40 years. Joining me today, remotely of course, is fellow midwife Nicole. Nicole has worked with the NHS for 26 years, and in this podcast, we'll be discussing the impact COVID-19 has had on midwives and the women and families in their care. We'll share initiatives, guidance, and resources to support midwives during the acute phase of the pandemic, and share some useful tips for the weeks and months ahead. We're actually recording in the evening because, like many of you listening, Nicole has been busy on the wards all day today. Nicole, thank you for virtually joining me this evening.
Good evening, Jill.
Can you tell us, how have midwifery services adapted during COVID-19 to ensure we continue to support women and their partners?
So, very good question, Jill. As you know, midwifery care is essential. And it's been developed over many, many years in this country to reduce complications in pregnant women and their babies. And with the coronavirus pandemic, there has had to have been many changes. One in particular that strikes me is a reduction in face-to-face contact with women and their partners and their families. This is very new to midwifery. This has decreased our softer skills. And what I mean by that is it doesn't allow for a midwife to look at a woman and quickly identify that something isn't quite right, that she's not feeling well, or she may want to disclose some information to us. And that's a huge challenge for midwives up and down the country.
So I'm guessing that midwives are really having to sort of dig deep into their diagnostic skills when they're having to, you know, make clinical judgments and decisions over the telephone. Must be challenging.
Yes, definitely. I mean, there are so many initiatives that we were just about launching or implementing over the last sort of 2 years or so. I mean, lots of things that have come out of our Better Births document, Midwifery 2020. You know, women have asked us for a number of years that they want to know their midwife or team of midwives who will be looking after them. They want continuity. And so that, they felt, would give them better outcomes, better experience. Many trusts up and down the country have got to the point where they were implementing such models of care. And with the reduction in face-to-face, this is quite challenging. It's difficult to assess someone or to build that relationship with a woman when you're not in her presence.
Nicole, I'm guessing that at the moment, women and their birth partners are probably reluctant to come into maternity services in hospitals, probably fearful and anxious. As midwives, what do you think we can do to reassure them that they're going to have a safe and positive experience in maternity services?
I think what I would say at first is it's particularly important that women attend their maternity care and their appointments. It's challenging times, yes, but the well-being of women and babies paramount to the midwifery service. Midwifery units, you know, we're doing absolutely everything we can to minimize the spread of the coronavirus infection. And this is not just the women and their babies, but equally to their partners and their families, their loved ones. So some of the things that midwives are doing to support women is by contacting them via video, having telephone consultations, and supporting partners in their birth. Now, we know that the environment makes a huge difference in terms of the physiology of birth and the birth experience, and what midwives and services are doing is, you know, saying to women, previously you were supported by two birth partners. Now that the spread of coronavirus, we're trying to reduce that risk of infection, we are supporting women with the one birthing partner. That is going to support the women, support the environment, and still give her an experience that she will remember, even with this pandemic.
So it sounds as if you're doing everything you can to preserve the precious sort of spiritual and emotional elements of labour and birth.
Absolutely. Yeah, that I mean, that's the essence of being a midwife. You know, the birth is not everything, but it is so important, so important. And we want to get it right with all of the anxiety that's surrounding women and the anxiety that's surrounding the midwives. Because, you know, midwives, our ultimate goal is a healthy woman, healthy baby, going home to a loving family.
So, Nicole, what you're saying is that we can maintain safe maternity services for women during this pandemic, albeit in a different way. You're saying that you're encouraging women to access all of their appointments, albeit differently, by telephone, perhaps by, you know, video conferencing, and some appointments will need to be face-to-face. So women can be reassured that they're going to be cared for safely through their pregnancy.
Yeah.
Nicole, I don't know about you, but, you know, there is so much guidance coming our way from, you know, the Royal Colleges and other sources as well about, you know, sort of up-to-date guidance on COVID-19. How can we all keep, you know, best keep up to date, do you think?
I think the information that's out there, you know, let's be honest, there's social media, which a lot of our mothers and families and staff themselves access. And some of the information is valid, but quite a number of research that they publish on these websites or conversations that they're having really isn't valid. My advice would be, you know, contact your local trust. See what information is out there. Websites aren't being uploaded as quickly as the advice is coming through, but that is a good place to start. Midwives can go onto the COVID-19 web hub. That's a very good site by the NMC, and that's uploaded every day. There's also the Royal College of Midwives. They've got a website that has a lot of resources to do with things like clinical advice, just to name one topic. I think thirdly, there's Health Education England. They've got a lot of guidance for staff and equally for students, because student midwives must also be feeling quite anxious about, will they qualify? Will they not? What can they do to help, or should they shield? So there's a lot of information out there. So I would advise stick to NMC, RCM, Health Education England, governments and government sites, absolutely.
In terms of your role, Nicole, you're in a senior position, and I know a lot of midwives in senior positions at the moment are having to do things quite differently during their working day. What's been the most striking change for your role?
Because of my role, I find myself a lot more patient-facing or woman-facing.
I bet you're loving that.
I absolutely love it. It has brought me back to why I became a midwife in the first place, was to be with women. And so things like paperwork, dealing with complaints, those sorts of things, although important and need to be achieved, they're not so important now. My role is very much about making sure the environment is warm and welcoming, firstly for our staff, so that their anxieties can be put to rest, But equally, if the staff are less anxious about coronavirus and PPE, then the women are going to have a better experience because the staff are going to allay their fears as well.
So as you've said, you know, we have talked about how COVID-19 pandemic is affecting women and their families, but this is a really challenging time for our midwives. How do you think our midwives can best support each other?
Midwives are tremendous. They are a strong community, small, but a strong community. And what I have observed midwives doing is, you know, for midwives who are shielding, i.e. the midwives who are at home because of either medical issues or family concerns, they have encouraged their families to get involved in supporting their colleagues on the shop floor. So they've baked cakes, they've contacted midwives via a network, be that social media or not. They've brought in things like bread. They have been shopping for midwives who have been at work for a 12-hour shift. The love, the care, the generosity of the midwives has been outstanding.
And this comes as no surprise, of course.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, they've even devised teleconferences once a week to check in with each other. You know, so they are absolutely supporting each other from an emotional point of view, but also from woman to woman, because that's what we do best. And men, of course, because we do have male midwives out there.
And Nicole, have many of your colleagues had to go into self-isolation or shield themselves?
There have been an outstanding amount. I'm very, I suppose, surprised at how many midwives have had to go into shielding. And that's been another interesting fact that's come out of COVID-19. You know, as human beings, we are, you know, quite okay talking about certain things, but not about our health and how we feel. We're in the caring profession and we tend to put everyone else first but ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
And with the midwives who've gone into shielding, it's really made colleagues, including myself, sit up and think, oh, we do need to look after ourselves as well. Mm. We are in a stressful environment and we don't know everything about everyone, and quite rightly so, but we do need to be a bit more mindful of our work environment, our colleagues.
And of course, those numbers of midwives who are not on the front line at the moment because they are needing to shield or go into self-isolation means that, obviously there is work that needs to be covered. In my area, there's been a really good response from retired midwives who've returned to practice to help with these challenging times. Has it been the same for you?
We have had, oh my goodness, I suppose I should start off by saying thank you. Thank you to all of the volunteers that have rolled their sleeves up and have come into hospital to deliver, whether it's lunches. I mean, today I had lunch delivered by a local restaurant. Just amazing. We've also had health visitors come into our service to say, what can we do to support you? We've had local people from the community say, look, I was a midwife 10 years ago. I can't deliver a baby anymore, but what can I do to help you? The support has been amazing.
That's so good to hear. So those midwives that are in a position to be able to continue to work, it sounds as if they're feeling really supported and looked after, and in a variety of different ways, resources are coming forward to enable them to, continue to do their work and provide safe care.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've had a number of women come back to our unit and say, you know, thank you for delivering my baby 10 years ago, for example. I would like to do this and bring a basket of fruit, or I would like to take some photos. So when coronavirus is finished, you've got something to put up on your walls. They want to be part of that experience, just to say thank you. It's been amazing.
Well, of course, we know that the relationship between woman and midwife is usually a strong one, a real connectedness. So it's good to hear.
So, Nicole, how has that felt, you know, with all these offers of support and volunteers and midwives coming back from retirement and the midwives who are still working, having to work so hard? How's that felt?
It's really overwhelming. I mean, I'm just so proud of the midwifery family that I belong to. And I say that about midwives across the country, because like I said before, we are a small group of professionals, but we are a family unit. I mean, it's so overwhelming. I mean, understandably, it's quite stressful and it's an anxious time for everyone, mothers and staff and myself included. I mean, I am just over 50 and I have never experienced anything like this in my entire career or my life. So we are learning on the job. We are learning every day. And maternity services, you know, we are affected by the pandemic, but we are working tirelessly to ensure that the services that we provide are safe, staff are safe, mothers and their babies and their families are safe.
As you say, we've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. And I would add my thanks and appreciation to our midwifery colleagues as well during these difficult circumstances.
That's quite emotional, actually, because it's truly how I feel. You know, I've never experienced this before and I don't want to do it again. But if I had to do it again, I'd want to do it as a midwife. Okay.
So, Nicole, you know, not surprisingly, you know, midwives are amazing people. And you have described, you know, how they have worked differently, have been resourceful in meeting the challenge of this COVID-19 pandemic, and how they've done everything they possibly can to continue to provide safe maternity services for our women and their families. Did you know a very wise old philosopher once observed that a midwife must have a lady's hand, a hawk's eye, and a lion's heart. And I think we really have to thank them for their amazing resilience and support for each other and the women and the families in their care. So that's all we have time for. Thank you for speaking with us today, Nicole. These are challenging times for pregnant women, their partners, and midwifery teams. But you've given us lots of helpful guidance and some really positive stories emerging from this crisis. It's important that we continue to support one another during these uncertain times ahead. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Jill, for having me.
To keep up to date with future episodes of the Beat podcast from Nutritia, make sure you subscribe on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts on. For more updates on the show, as well as lots of other educational content from Nutritia, sign up to our newsletter at www.nutritia.co.uk. We'll be right back.